Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
You know what that means, Zach? What's that sound mean? What's that song mean?
It used to be fun.
Derailing my hype train 2 seconds into the show.
Sabres home opener tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Getting you ready for tonight. In just a few minutes here, we're going to get to our own Paul Hamilton, who is getting ready for Sabres morning skate today. Zach Benson, JJ Paterka, good news for yesterday, potentially playing today. We will see more on that. I am excited. I had a fun little tweet today about how Europe's not a real place. The first two games did not count. But in fact, they are in actuality 0-2. They've scored two total goals. They have not scored a power play goal yet.
They have not. And they've had
0-6 on that.
Six challenges?
I think it's six.
Or six attempts, I should say.
And it's been not great. And so for more on those first two games and what we've seen in practice so far and what's upcoming for this week, we go now to the Western Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, good morning. How we doing? How we feeling? It's exciting. Back at the arena. Should be a good time.
How are you?
I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there, Paul. I promise I'm going to get there.
I'm going to drag him there kicking and screaming, Paul. It's going to be fine. We're going to have a great time today. Sabres hockey's back. We're back on North American soil.
Yeah, North American opening day. The Kings don't have Doughty, so that should be an advantage for the Sabres. So, the poor Kings, though, they got to start on 7 games on the road. That's how they start. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's brutal. The Sabres, yeah, they do get the 2 games in Europe. They then got quite a bit of time in between those games and then opening night, where the Kings, it's like, I don't know, you're going to forget where you live by the time you get back.
If I'm not mistaken, they started this, I think, in Quebec City, did they not? And for a preseason game? So they haven't been home in a while, or won't be home for a while.
I'm checking that now. And their last game, no, their last two games were at home against Boston and Florida.
Okay.
So they've at least recently been home. But then, yeah, I mean, their first home game is October 24th against San Jose.
Florida wouldn't have gone to Los Angeles for a preseason game. And I bet that game, I think that game was
somewhere. Oh, you're right, you're right. That was in Quebec City. You're right.
Yep.
Oh, wow. So they have been gone for a while. The Boston game as well, Quebec City.
Why?
Their last home game was Anaheim, September 28th.
We were having this conversation yesterday about marketing and the NHL and things like that. Like, how do you justify this long of a road trip right at the start of the season, especially if you're like in the Kings fan base? I mean, this is crazy.
There must be something in their arena. I didn't look, but there must be something in their arena that they can't get in, and they have to be out of there for – that's the only reason that you would do it is, you can't get dates in the arena, I would think.
That makes sense. I mean, that's happened before. I remember – I want to say for some basketball teams, kind of the same thing. They're finishing up renovations or what have you.
That's a busy arena, so they can have some famous person there for, a week or whatever. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I think – Josh was last year in the Premier League.
Hans Zimmer is there tomorrow.
No, Hans Zimmer wouldn't qualify for what I'm talking about.
That's all I'm seeing right now.
Just having a concert.
All right. Well, I guess they just decided to, hey, Kings.
Leave.
Do this. See what happens.
That's brutal. All right, Paul. What did we see on those first two games against the Devils? The first game seemed to kind of be almost like you got goal lead. I saw some tweets about the deserve to win-o-meter, whatever that really is, that the Sabres actually played a pretty darn good game. The second game, from what I saw just on social media and then the stats itself, was worse. They lose both games. They only score one time in each. It was fairly deflating for a fan base and a team that kind of knows they need to get off to a hot start.
Yeah, no, I didn't think they played well. They played better the first night than the second, but I didn't think they played well. They were slow. They were slow in decisions. It was like, you know, the Devils came at them with speed and was the first time they had seen NHL speed because they didn't play NHL players in the three preseason games. Not their fault, but that's the way it broke down. And so the first time they saw NHL speed were the Devils coming at them. And I think they panicked. They started being tentative and they reverted back to what they know, which is last year. That's what's ingrained in their mind. And I asked Lindy Ruff this week, how long does it take for all the things you're trying to teach them to become habit? Because that's what has to happen. What Lindy Ruff wants them to do has to be habit. You can't be thinking about it. You can't be, we got to go here. No, it just has to become habit where it happens. Because you've practiced it enough, you played it enough that it's a habit. He said he thinks it's already habit. I'm not seeing that at all. All I saw was them revert back to last year because that's what they know. And it obviously didn't work out. The power play, of course, as you mentioned, didn't help them going 0-for-6. They couldn't even get the puck into the zone, which it was a problem last year also. And they scored two goals. Missed two wide-open nets because they babied the puck and you'd shoot it. I mean, shoot it through the back of the net and let it go through the net and hit the boards if you have to. But you can't miss wide-open nets. I mean, the first one was in a 2-0 game by Obe Kabel. Well, if that's a wide-open net, you're in the crease, and you babied the puck and you allowed Markstrom to get his stick back to make a save. And then Tuck had Allen. He wasn't even anywhere near the crease. And Devil defenseman, I think one was Dougie Hamilton, trying to scramble to get into the crease, and he hit the post. In a 2-0 game and Obe Kabel scores there, it's 2-1. Does it change the game? Well, we don't know, but we also didn't get a chance to see if it changes the game. Maybe it changes the whole complexion of the game. Maybe you start getting some confidence because you scored a goal there and it's 2-1. And maybe the whole thing changes. Who knows? But they never got a chance to find out. Here you are playing whatever way you played, but you had two wide open nets, which you missed. Early in the game, you have Tage Thompson, a guy who has scored 47 goals in this league, come in twice for good scoring chances coming through the circle. He missed the net both times. You can't miss the net there if you're Tage Thompson. You just can't. And, those are the types of things that just same thing last year. I mean, you're not around the net enough. When they got around the net, what a hard-working goal that Thompson scored. Greenway, he crashes the net. Thompson, he crashes the net. Tuck, he crashes the net. And they were relentless. Well, if we saw more of that, Tuck was talking about that. You'll hear it on the pregame show tonight. If we saw more of that, they would score more goals. And that's what Lindy Ruff is trying to teach them. So, Lindy Ruff's the head coach, and if he feels that it's already habits, that, he's forgotten more hockey than I know, but that's not what I've seen.
Right. Like, it's one of those things that you hear, and it kind of, almost perks your ears up. Because you're like, really? Are we sure? And it's just, you brought it up, Paul, there, like Thompson missing the net. I feel like that's been the last two, maybe even 3 years. Dylan Cousins becomes addicted to hitting the post. It's just, they're a team that you can see talent. You can. I mean, it's why I still somewhat believe in this group. But then that you go out on the ice, and it was sort of the same over this weekend, too, or this past weekend, too, of just they get down in these early slumps and just seemingly, as you put it, they reverted back to last year. They reverted back to bad habits in some sort of sense of panic or what have you. It's just it does seem like the same things with this team. I understand it's two games in, and we've got a lot of hockey to go. This team also didn't play many preseason games due to the European trip. But, man, it was disheartening. But, last night you saw a lot of teams. Edmonton didn't score a single goal with guys like Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, and now Jeff Skinner. So, I mean,
Please don't include him in that.
I had to just a little bit.
Well, I'm not sure he's still a goal scorer anymore. He's 32, 33 years old, whatever. Maybe. We'll find out. But I think that's starting to decline.
almost. I mean, me and you, I think, both agreed on it too. Of you know, probably a good idea to move him out at this time, even if you have to do the buyout and everything like that. It's just for this team, especially. And I brought it up there at the top. It feels like this fan base, and I would say the team itself as well. It feels like, especially tonight, they need a win. You got Florida coming in on Saturday. They look just as good as they did last year. Not as bad as Carolina, but you really have never had to. We've never had a great game against them. The Kings, like you said, don't have Drew Doughty. Tonight feels really important for the first 2-3 weeks of the season, if not the entire season.
Well, two things. I would say don't blame the post thing all on Dylan Cousins. I've been playing hockey or watching hockey since I was 7 years old. I have never, ever seen a team hit the post more than this team does. It's everybody. It astounds me how many times they hit the post. I've never seen anything like it. I can't explain it, but they do that. You look at the schedule, honestly, I think 4 out of 5 games are very winnable games because they have these 2 at home, and then they go 3 on the road, which I think are winnable games. You're playing Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Chicago. So, you know, I think you have an opportunity here. As poorly as I feel they played in Prague and are 0-2 and have already dug themselves a hole, they can dig themselves out of it in pretty quick order. You know, if they just go out and play their game, you know, the opportunity is here, right here and now, early in the season, to get right back on track, I think.
So, Paul, among other things, obviously tonight is the first regular season home game that Lindy Ruff has coached since 2013. So, I mean, what do you think the reception is going to be like that for tonight? I mean, it's probably going to be a pretty good atmosphere in there for the people that are there, right?
It'll be huge. When he's introduced, it'll be a huge reception for him. But the thing is, too, he doesn't have the luxury of a honeymoon. I know fans are really, you know, I would maybe use the word icon here in Buffalo, and they're excited about it. But if at the end of these 4 games I just talked about, it hasn't gotten any better, and they're 1-3, or I guess it's 5 games now, and they're 1-3-1 or 1-4, that'll be it for Lindy Ruff. The idea of Lindy Ruff being the coach will have worn off by then, and so it semi wore off in Prague. I mean, my timeline was a mess, you know. So, you know, this team does not get any leeway whatsoever. Probably, I don't blame it. I don't know if they deserve leeway, quite honestly. It's not Lindy Ruff's fault that they've gone all this time without being in the playoffs. It's not any of these players' faults. They've gone all this time in the playoffs, but most of them are at least part of it. You know, how long has Rasmus Dahlin been here? He's almost been here for half of it. You know, Kevin Adams is, you know, he's now been here for, you know, so for a while too. So he's part of it. You no longer can say, well, it's not fair to put it all on us. You know, well, you're part of it too. So, you know, they're not going to get a honeymoon or a grace period. This has to change. It has to change now. And they've said so themselves. They, you know, all along, Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff says the time is now.
It does feel like the group says all the right things. I mean, I'm somebody that's got caught up, I want to say last year, during their end of season press conferences at Locker Clean, out of them all being furious that they weren't in playoff hockey. Then they came in last year and just kind of was never really got off the ground. So I've now become a little stale to what everyone says, partially due to I get excited and then they show up and I'm like, all right, and it's the same team. To the young guys, though, who really have not been here for much of the drought at all, JJ Paterka, Zach Benson, both either picked up injuries or were sort of injured already in Prague, but both talked yesterday, seemed pretty confident they could play tonight. Paul, what did you hear from both of them?
And Lindy Ruff was hoping, too. It sounds like what Lindy Ruff was talking about is just, look at, let's let it go overnight. Let's see how practice settled in. But he's looking, as I'm watching Benson come on the ice right now, you know, he's looking to for them. As he said, we hope they can play. So I think it would have taken a setback from practice for them not to be able to be in the lineup. And both players after practice said they both felt good. Benson said that it wasn't anything that happened in the game. It was a nagging thing that had been bothering him, and it just got worse in the game that he couldn't go for the second game. But it wasn't really anything that happened in the game. It's just something that had been bothering him.
So, Paul, another thing that we know in the past is never something we can really tell before the game, but goalie situation. Obviously, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devin Levi coming in here tonight. I would assume that Luukkonen's probably going to be the starter, but, I mean, the whole feeling around the two of them this year, I feel like it's going to be kind of a feel-it-out-as-we-go sort of vibe, mm-hmm. or what's your take on it so far?
Yeah, my guess is Luukkonen will play the next three, and then we'll see Levi in Columbus. That's my guess, because that's three games in four, and that would be the second of a back-to-back. So, or if they wanted to, they could let Levi play the first game of the back-to-back. You know, Luukkonen plays the first two, and then Levi plays in Pittsburgh. They could do it that way, too, if they wanted to. Then Luukkonen in Columbus and Chicago. But I think that's – I mean, Lindy had said at his press conference that, you know, his goaltender is Luukkonen. But he's not willing to say that Luukkonen's going to get up to 54 games like he did last year. It's basically a wait-and-see type of thing. You know, he has sat down with Mike Bales trying to get to know the two goaltenders, what makes them tick. And as he said, Mike Bales does a lot to kind of drive that ship too. You know, Lindy didn't play goal in the National Hockey League. Most of the head coaches that you see here, unless they're named Patrick Waugh, you know, haven't. So they have to really rely heavily on their goaltending coach and talking about goaltenders. And it's the head coach's final decision, but they rely on their goaltending coaches. So I think early on here, unless they're going to do the Bruins basically back and forth when they had Swayman and Allmark, they both got 40 games or more last year. So, which is basically, if they could, they went back and forth. So maybe Levi has earned that. That he would get the Florida game and and they would alternate, but we're just going to have to wait and see. But he did say if a goaltender gets on a roll, you know, pretty good chance they're going to wind up in the net. So I don't think he really knows what he wants to do. He's going to let the season unfold and let the season tell him what he wants to do. You know, if they're both playing really, really well, then they both play. If one's quite a bit better than the other, then he's going to play most of the time. I think he's going to let the season dictate how he's going to go about it.
Might be the way, or the best way to do it. Paul, last thing here before we let you get off to practice. Going to turn our attention to baseball. The Yankees last night. Good 3-2 win over the Royals in Kansas City. Stanton with a home run. They lead that series now 2-1. And if they win tonight, on to the ALCS. How are we feeling?
Well, this is what they got Cole for. I mean, there are times Cole has pitched well this year, and there's times he's been awful. But this is why they got him. It's playoff baseball. Cole has a chance to end it, and let's go to the next series. So that's his opportunity. That's what he's paid to do, and that's what he's got to do. And I'm sure he relishes that kind of an opportunity. Usually players of that ilk really do, although Judge, still, I mean, he has just not performed in the playoffs in his career, and he's not in this playoff either. So you can't explain it, but Stanton does perform in the playoffs and hit a big home run for them to get them over the top and stole a base.
Which is insane. That should not happen.
He can't run because of injuries. They can't put him in the outfield anymore. That's why he's such a huge double play player. You know, plays that wouldn't be double plays on anybody else are on him. And watching it, they just totally ignored him. And he just got further off first and further off first and further off first. And he was like maybe 40% of the way there. And he said, okay. Let's go.
Like, I guess I'll run.
And he made it. It was like, wow, he just stole a base. But when I saw the replay, I said, okay, they just totally ignored him and let him get the Volpe running lead, and off he went.
Game time tonight at 8 o'clock, an hour after the Sabres get going against the Kings. So, Paul, it's going to be a long night for you. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. We'll talk again for the pregame.
Take care, guys.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline. Again, pregame right here on WGR starting at 6 o'clock for a 7 p.m. puck drop as the Sabres have their home opener tonight against the L.A. Kings. I haven't actually looked forward to the schedule that much. I've been keeping it very, like, within the two games, what have you, within the week. They do have a nice early schedule here. You do get a Kings team that is has not been home for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, they're also injured. Florida, not great. Going to that game, already sort of regretting it. It's fine. I seem to always go to the Florida Panthers games. And then, yeah, you get Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago, Dallas, and Detroit, and Florida after that. That's not great. But if you can pick up a win here,
mm-hmm.
get a point in Florida or against Florida, you right. feel a little bit better forward.
And that's the thing, too. Like with Florida, I'm looking at it. The Sabres have always played decently well against Florida.
It's frustrating as hell.
Okay.
Again, it's super frustrating.
Captain Optimism is here today. Listen to me. Please. Listen, Zach. Hear me out. We've gone to Florida games. We've gone to Sabres Florida games together, and we've seen how aggressive they get with these Panthers players. I mean, Darlene and Tkachuk wanted to fight in the locker room 2 years ago. So I don't think there's it could be a close game, and sure, they could go in there and it could be rough because they are the defending Stanley Cup champions after all, with not much turnover from their team. But
that Reinhardt goal was so cool.
He's crazy. He is so good. But I look, like you said, you look at this first schedule, this first week and a half, 2 weeks of the schedule, there's a lot of 3 days in a row you're off. And you can just kind of breathe a little bit. Sure, there's a back-to-back in there, like Paul brought up, with Pittsburgh and Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
But one, Pittsburgh to Columbus is not a far trip. Two, you have two good goaltenders. You're fine in that regard. And three, that's the second-to-last game of your three-game road trip. So, I mean, you know, it's... And then you're home for four games. So then you have...
Yeah, it's not like there's
light at the end of the tunnel.
You're not the Kings where it's seven games mm-hmm. or a really extended road trip. It's quick. You're not traveling across the country. They're relatively close cities. I mean, they're close as they can be.
There's really no big road trip until the end of November when you go to L.A. to take mm-hmm. on the Kings. But, I mean, because if you look at it, there's all these home games sprinkled in here in the first month and a half of the season. But then your road trips are... Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago, Detroit, New York,
mm-hmm.
Philadelphia. So it's not really, and two, between all those trips, after Chicago, you have 3 days off until your next game when you get home. After Detroit, you have 3 days off till you get home.
Mm-hmm.
After New York, you have off 2 days.
Okay.
Or a day, I should say, because it'd be a Friday.
When's the first Sabres after dark? Man, it's not until like late
November 2nd. Yeah, against the Kings and then Anaheim and then San Jose. But that's even a short trip because after those three games, you come back home. That's a short Sabres after dark. We're not doing the whole West Coast swing there.
November 20th, L.A., 22nd, Anaheim. And then, San Jose is an 8 o'clock game.
Oh, it's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a good one. I like that. Saturday, 8 o'clock games, that's a pretty good time.
That's pretty good.
Sabres after dark is a great time overall. But when they're on the weekend, it's like, commitments tomorrow. We're fine. We can stay up till 1 in the morning and hopefully have a good result.
I think it's just, and I say this both, obviously, you can tell by my tone. I'm pessimistic. I get it.
It's okay.
We'll
get there.
But this is important.
Yeah.
As Paul brought up too, like there really isn't going to be a honeymoon period for Lindy Ruff as head coach.
And I think...
And if you start the season off 0-3...
I feel
and you
like,
lose tonight for the home opener, and then you got Florida coming into the building on Saturday. It's gonna feel like, here we go again. Mm-hmm. We're on to year 14. Just put up the banner now. We know the drought continues, and it's the feeling of an apathetic fan base that I think should be the worry for everyone in that building. Is the worry that eventually, even the big moment games, you won't get people showing up. There will be people tonight for Lindy's first regular season home game in forever.
9 years.
9 years. But those big moments won't last forever. You're, number one, you're running out of big moments anyways. And that's the fear, is that once you've run out of big moments and then the team isn't good, you're just never filling out the building, and that fan base becomes apathetic. They need to be good. Not great. I'm not saying they need to be great this year, mm-hmm. but they need to make the playoffs with this group, or they're never going to attract free agents. They're never going to get taken off of people's no-trade clauses.
Right.
And so, well, yes, it's game three of an 82-game season. I get it. There's a lot there. You need to give some sign of hope, some sign of life, some sign that Ruff as head coach is actually working. I will tell you, and I don't know if Paul necessarily shares my fears, but you know, he was also kind of given like a little bit of like a, really, it's already ingrained to them? Like, are we sure? And
That's sort of my feeling, is like, I don't love hearing that they've, you know, Ruff already thinks they've changed ways, and because the weekend did not look like that. Mm-hmm. The weekend looked exactly like last year's team in almost every way. The power play, the inability to just get it in the opposition zone is just, I mean, it's turn the TV off type stuff.
Right. Well, and that's too, like let's say, you know, let's say the Sabres go out there and it's, they lose tonight, right? Like, let's say that happens. Yep. If it's a loss like the last two games, there's problems. If it's a, hey, you know, it's 4-3 and you played a great game, you're out shooting the Kings, you just got unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot different of a loss than 4-1 and 3-1 where you're barely getting pucks on net.
Yeah.
So I don't want to sound like that guy, but it does make a difference on how the loss happens. If it's a close game all the way to the end and you're back and forth, that's one thing. But if it's a...
Dude, I told you too.
You go down early and you try to make a comeback, mm-hmm. but you can't get enough, then that's, okay, you shouldn't have been in that situation.
I was going to say, it's because it's very similar of, well, you fell behind late,
right?
Like you always do.
Or fell behind early,
like you always do. And you brought up the point too, if you play close, but you ultimately lose. If you can get it to overtime, this is something me and Paul have talked about a lot too, of the loser points. Just keep picking up points.
The Blue Jackets made it to the playoffs one year with 20 overtime losses. That's 20 free points for a loss.
I don't think...
Do away with the overtime point.
I don't think most of this fan base cares how they get there. Just get there.
Yeah, right.
Talk about the COVID year where what, 90% of the league made it? I'm being facetious.
I would take an 0-0-82 season because there's a chance that you could make it into the playoffs some years with 82 points. Not recently, but hey, you lose 82 games in overtime, you still have 82 points at the end of the year. That's better than most of the teams in the league, or almost half the teams in the league.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. How are we feeling about tonight's game? Are you going? Are you excited? Love to hear your thoughts again. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up at 11:30, we will get a check-in with the Bills as well, as they're getting ready for their Monday night game against the Jets. And the Jets will have a new play caller. No, Nathaniel Hackett is not fired, but Todd Downing is going to be the team's new offensive play caller starting Monday night against the Bills. We'll give our thoughts on that as we go, but we're thinking very Sabres heavy today. As you know what? It's home opener. Why not? We didn't get to really talk about them too much in Prague because they weren't really here. It was kind of hard to. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You listen.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Listening to WGR.
I feel like you're so excited for every game to start that it doesn't really matter how long the times in between are. It's not the optimal situation maybe, but I said it before, it never is. So, you know, I'm just excited that we get to play again.
Sabres goaltender Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. All reports at practice say he is in the starters. Not too surprising. He's going to get the start tonight against the Kings. I loved how Levi looked, though, for much of the second New Jersey game. Again, I actually, Josh, and this shows that I am a fan, didn't get to watch the game live. Watched it later. Recorded it, watched it later.
Look at you.
I know. Thank you. He looked good for most of the game, though. Like, kept them alive kind of deal.
And I love Levi's pads are insane.
Yeah, it's growing on me. It is growing on me. The old leather look,
yeah. It's so good.
I think, was not a fan initially.
I think he needs like a little bit of Sabres signage on there somewhere, like in a black color, because it would just pop off the leather.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like you might just ruin the aesthetic.
I like it, but it kind of needs to have that, like, you know how like those pads kind of have like they're I don't know how to explain it, but like the stitching looks.
Oh, yeah, where like in the knees and everything, there's like, it looks like there's little like extra pillows in there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I wish if he was going for that look. It just kind of looks like a normal pad, just brown.
I don't think they would have been able to do it because not rules, but because pads are so different now than they were back when that was
a
thing.
Right, that's right.
He could have done like a design.
Though.
Yeah.
But I don't want to make it sound like I don't.
No, no, yeah. He could have done like a design to it too, where it just like the lines, but I don't know. I don't know if it would give the same effect because like those, you could see like the ridges and the waves in the pads. But do you remember in the arena? I don't know if they still do. I'd have to check next time I go, but up in the one area in the 100 section, like the one like lounge area right by the escalators, they have like the poles and they have like little tables around the poles where you could stand there. Around the bottom of the poles, they had old goalie pads surrounding it. I don't know why this just came into my head, but I just remember seeing those when I was a kid and thinking they were so cool. But like, I don't even know if they're still there anymore. I'm really interested now. I haven't like paid attention when I'm walking by there recently, so I don't remember, but... But yeah, those just the pads that look like that, like it's just a nice heritage look.
I like I'm as I get older, I'm more into like some of the vintage looks. Like I love in the NFL, especially when like you get a lot of throwback uniforms.
How do you feel about the Jaguars ones?
Love those.
Yeah,
I don't even think they're particularly good ones.
No, but
like, I'm like good.
They're still they're like it's a throwback, so it just gives good vibes. And I don't know why that is. Even when the team was bad, when they
Like, it's always I bring up with Tampa Bay, like whenever they pull off their creamsicles. Like that was a team that went, I think, 0-26 to start their like lives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, great vibes. Looks awesome.
The color was great. The logo was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like the
winking
pirate,
buccaneer.
Oh, the pirate
so
with
good.
The sword in the mouth and the big feather hat. Oh, so
it
great.
Was the least like 70s looking football thing ever. Because again, it
and
was a pirate
wink.
Winking at you. Oh, so good. It was so different from everything else. And then, of course, you do have the Raiders at the time. So, like, they're the iconic sort of they're also kind of a pirate.
The Pittsburgh Pirates have a similar thing to this, too. They have their, it's not one of their main logos. It's more of like a third or an alternate logo where it's their pirate with his bandana and a little dagger in his mouth.
It's so good. I love throwbacks. And that also counts with the Sabres. For much of my life, I was not a big fan of the red and black. I was raised as a traditionalist. I like the royal blue and gold, what have you. But now that it's come back, I'm like, nah, never mind. Bring back the 90s grunge look. Yeah, I'm all for it. and it's part of it. Like, it's just there is something to throwbacks of, like, even if the team wasn't particularly good in the era, which actually, funny enough, for the Jaguars in the 90s, they were. Like, they showed up with Mark Brunell and were good, like, I think 3 years into their existence. But, yeah, I think there is something to those throwback uniforms that I really, really like. And a lot of it is just, there's the sense of nostalgia. For a lot of us, it was when we were younger and what have you. Let's get connected to our fans, though, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Just doing a vibes check on the Sabres for opening, for the home opening night. Of course, they did play two games in Prague.
It feels like opening night.
It does. And it's like I joked that I'm like, the first two games didn't count because Europe's not real. I know Europe's real. It's just more like it feels so wrong. Like there were preseason games going on that Saturday, that Friday, I think, too. And yet we had technically the NHL season start. The league cannot get out of its own way. Gang tweets in, vibes are below the ground, but I'm still going to watch anyways because I'm a sick individual. I feel that one. I feel that one in my heart. I've done that for so many sports teams that like I should not give two thoughts about, but I keep watching. Texas Longhorns for the longest time.
Yeah, now they're back.
Well, I was going to say, it's like I've gotten through the dark period, but man, there were times.
And, hey,
I'm watching Case McCoy going like, hey, he's like his brother, baby. We're here. And they're 6-6.
Think of that feeling. Remember that feeling that you had with Texas all those years, and now here you are. That's what you're gonna feel with the Sabres soon.
You're not gonna want that though. Like I don't.
What do you mean? I want everyone to feel like
when
that.
When Texas got back, it was stunning and surprising to me. Like I was sort of like, I don't want to say on the outside, but I was just like, when they hired Steve Sarkisian, I was like, oh boy, all right, here we go. And it was bad on me, but it was a lot to do with his dismissal at USC and some of his past and everything like that. And I was just like, whatever, here we are. And then it was Oh, you're good. You met expectations and in parts exceeded them. Like, I was happy. Now, there are still points, though, I will tell you. That team brings me nerves like nobody else. I mean, it's the Red River this weekend, on Saturday, actually, funny enough. And I don't talk about it, thankfully, because I work in Buffalo, but I'm on edge, like, the whole week.
Yeah.
The whole week, I'm on edge. I'm not watching anything with Texas. I think the line was 14.5 when it opened this weekend, and I nearly threw up. I want no part of that. There's a big reason why I'm going to the Sabres game on Saturday.
Just to avoid all thoughts of.
Well, I mean, the game starts at 3:30. The game will go on beforehand, but it's more the idea of like I'm planning that as well, like before the game starts, and then once the game starts, it's like, all right, here we go. We're gonna sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Chris tweets in, they didn't win me over with their trip to Europe. I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach before I invest in this team. I think that is definitely fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the right way to do it, is sort of not a hands-off approach, but definitely of like, I'm going to check the scoreboard, turn on the game, turn on the radio. Where are we? Okay, all right, okay. Because I think that's the thing for me, too, and where I've gotten. And I said a little bit to Paul, too, of just like, I would listen to these guys, you know, in the postseason, or, you know, locker clean out or what have you, or in the preseason, and get real fired up about some of the quotes. You know, again, guys getting furious that they're not playing playoff hockey, and you're thinking, man, they're going to come out like a bat out of hell. And then they don't. And it deflates me quickly. Last year was sort of this feeling, too, where like the Bills, funny enough, were kind of in the same spot where, you know, all of a sudden the losses started picking up and they didn't look that great. And you're like, oh, here we go. Hey, at least we got the sand. The Sabres are the Sabres. And it was deflating. And I am trying to avoid that deflating feeling that I've had for a number of years with this team, because I said it last year. I was kind of upset with myself that I only went to a few games. I mm-hmm. love going to games.
Yeah.
Love it.
The atmosphere is always pretty good.
Pretty good. I've said this before. I'm a much bigger fan of football. I don't prefer going to football games. I much prefer going to a bar and watching it with a bunch of my friends, or, you know, even here working and being with a lot of my friends, or at home and watching it. I far prefer that. For hockey games, it's the complete and total opposite. I way prefer going, and yet I only went to two last year. And one of them was because a buddy of mine was like, hey, I have tickets. Do you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, why not? I got nothing else going on, like, I think it's Sunday at that time. You know, this year I'm like, I want to go early. You know, I want to get back in the arena. I want to go when hopefully vibes are still good and where vibes are only going to start getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I mean, they leave me on a knife's edge a little bit.
Well, and I look at, like you said, that some years we have, you know, all these quotes and we're mad that we're not in the playoffs, so we're going to come back hard next year. That was what, 2 years ago, last year, something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And like you have all these things that fire you up, and obviously this year, a lot of it is, hey, Lindy Ruff is back. Let's see what happens here. But there hasn't really been like that one press conference with one of the players where it's like, you know, they say all the right things and everyone gets fired up from it. There hasn't been a feeling like that. And I think that it kind of gives a different vibe to the start of this, where it's, you know, we're all just kind of waiting here, not really sure what to expect. I know we all want playoffs. But what are we all really expecting?
Right? Yeah, it's probably fair. Because up until like that, I can't remember the data site now. Last Friday, the morning of the first game, where all of a sudden it was like, "Hey, the Sabres are actually projected to be in the playoffs." I felt like the vibes and their expectations this year were not high at all,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like, "Oh, a season starting."
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. And that, like I said, like, you haven't had that rah rah moment mm-hmm. of. Oh, like, you know, we're fired up, we're ready to go. I mean, sure, there's obviously been then those buzzwords of like, yeah, we're excited to play in front of the fans, and here we are. And like Lindy saying all the things he did when he was introduced as head coach.
The video they play right before the beginning of the game is going to just hit so hard.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be good.
It does every time for me.
It always does.
They always get me.
But I look at all of those things and how it's all like led up to this.
Mm-hmm.
And even counting in Prague, there really wasn't like this moment in Prague where everyone buys in.
But no.
But everyone is still there, I think. I mean, I feel like, yes.
It's early. I think it's fair to say it's early.
Because it's early. But I want to know what people feel like. If you have a thought, 803-0550. But I just want to know what people expect. Not what you want.
What you're expecting.
And personally, I'm kind of expecting something we haven't seen before. Whether that be good or bad, I just don't think it's going to be a Sabres team we've seen in the past 13 years.
Because the first two games didn't give me a lot of hope for that.
No, I know. But I do feel like, you know, hey, you're in Europe. You didn't have a normal training camp. You have a new head coach. You lost some key pieces, whether it be leadership group or on the ice. I know everything that happened with Kyle Okposo, like, you know, he still was a leader on this team. He was here for almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Zemgus Girgensons. He was here for 10 years. I found myself watching those Prague games and going, where is Zemgus Girgensons? What happened to Kyle Okposo? Oh, yeah.
No, they're not here.
And I didn't think that way about Jeff Skinner because, yeah, mm-hmm. sure, Skinner's been here for a while. But, like, the two constants were Kyle Okposo and Zemgus Girgensons. They always found their way back, and now they're gone. And it's not saying that just those two are the vibe change or, mm-hmm. or the feeling change, but mm-hmm. I do think that the fact that they were away for so long, didn't have a normal training camp, and weren't home, like this Kings team tonight yep. hasn't been home in like 2 weeks, which is still crazy. And I look at all those factors, and I just wonder, you know, maybe Prague was just a fluke. And I'm not saying, you know, they're going to go out and barnstorm the Kings tonight, but
would be nice.
I wonder what expectations are like in terms of how everyone's feeling tonight.
Yeah, just I think the expectations, I think, for a lot of people are going to be down, especially they did not go and get a top six forward, which I think is a huge miss. But I also think that stems from two off seasons ago now of when the iron was hot, when teams really were starting to look at you and go, hey, they're an ascending organization. That team is on fire. And that you brought them up. They re-signed Kyle Okposo and Zemgus Girgensons. And that was kind of about it. It's just every time it feels like this organization should zag, they zig, and they go, instead of going right, they go left. Some of it's not on them. Sometimes they've hired people that get a lot of credibility. Other times it's not that. It's just they need to prove to people that they're actually a respectable organization. Because in a sport where a lot of the organizations make the playoffs every year, and you'll have bad nights, it does feel like we're a team like Edmonton who gets shut out last night, lose 6-0.
That's rough. That's a bad
That's
start.
Rough. That's rough. But I wouldn't think Edmonton fans are sitting there going, hey, here we go. Here comes the collapse. They're instead thinking, that's a terrible night. Way to open up the season. All right, we'll be fine. We'll be okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even that's Boston. Because they were just in the Stanley Cup final.
Sure, but like even Boston, who was going through their own bit of change, and they had the Jeremy Swayman stuff.
Well,
they see Corpusalo play like garbage. I would imagine Boston fans are like, we'll be all right.
Swayman's going to get going. I think that's a different conversation because, yes, Swayman is there and Swayman is good. But you've just found out that you have no backup.
Sure, sure.
You have no one behind him. Whereas before, you had Linus Ullmark.
But is a single one of those fans actually worried they'll miss the playoffs?
Probably not, no. But
where for Sabres fans, they lose two games in Prague after having three training camp practices and a scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And we all think the sky is falling, partially because we've kind of been proven true a lot of the time.
Well, that's my point about the whole expectations thing, is we don't have much to base off of, aside from those two losses and a few practices.
Yeah.
On North American soil. Like, yeah. you're not to say that makes a big difference, but you're not in your own building. You're not accustomed to everything.
803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
2-1 to Lindor. Now the pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies' bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1. They were famished for the big hit all night, and Francisco Lindor just provided a feast. Mets 4, Phillies 1 here in the sixth inning.
And that is how the game would end, 4-1. Mets head on to the NLCS. They are waiting to see if it'll be the Dodgers or the Padres. Francisco Lindor, man, what a player. He is so, so good. I'm not a Mets fan, but it is giving vibes of 2015 UNS Cespedes.
Oh,
like from the outside looking in. And
Cespedes was...
They get him at the trade deadline, and he just becomes nearly a folk hero for Mets fans as they go to the World Series, ultimately lose to Kansas City, which the Royals are also in this playoffs right now.
Cespedes had a special place in my heart for a long time.
He had a weird career, didn't he?
He did. But that man had the ability to throw the ball like 500 yards.
Yeah.
and be fine and not throw out his arm. I mean, as an outfielder growing up, it was something awesome to watch. Like, it was really cool.
Lindor, though, so much fun last night. I think the Mets before that had the bases loaded twice prior.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously didn't get a single run out of that.
Yeah.
And then bases loaded again. Lindor goes up. I'm watching it. I'm sitting in there with our own Brayden Wilson as well. And it's just it kind of felt like it was going to happen. And it just crack of the bat.
Yeah.
And it when the Mets are good, baseball is fun.
Yeah. And
there,
honestly,
there is something, too, when the Mets are good.
Yeah.
There is just they're a vibe. They really, really are.
Good for Lindor, too, because he's had very rocky moments.
I think I saw him crying last night, too, when like, yeah, it was
Brandon
like official.
Brandon Nimmo cried, too.
Yep.
Yeah, it was
so
you could
cool
just see the emotion in that team, and especially, too, because like, this seems to be the year of the underdog in the MLB playoffs. I mean, like, you have the Mets, you have the Tigers. Who, mind you, the Tigers and the Blue Jays had the same record in August. And the Tigers are here, and the Blue Jays are... You know,
well, the Blue Jays,
they're having
arguably
fun in vacation land, wherever that may be. But no, I mean, I really enjoy when it's the underdog season, right? Like when you have all these underdogs kind of making their way through, it almost gives the vibes of March Madness when you have a couple upsets and you just kind of are like, all right, here we go. Those are my teams now. I've never heard of them before, but they're my teams now. In this case, obviously, you've heard of
sounds like a fake school, but I'm rolling
right
with them.
And obviously, in this case, you've heard of the Tigers and the Mets, but it was. Wow, the Mets are 0-5 and no one is at the game, and all of a sudden Grimace shows up and you win 25 games in a row. I know it wasn't 25, but
it
felt like it.
It's been so much fun. They actually won't find out, though, who they're playing in the NLCS until Friday night at 8 when the Padres and Dodgers have game 5. And then today, two games, all in the, obviously, AL. Guardians, Tigers at 6. And then, obviously, we talked to Paul, Royals and Yankees at 8 o'clock. Should be a lot of fun. I've been having a blast with playoff baseball this year. I am going to be checking those games intermittently with the Sabres game tonight.
If you're a Mets fan, do you want the Padres or the Dodgers?
Padres.
Yeah.
I think there is the Dodgers haven't been able to have healthy pitching, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something to, like, I still don't want to deal with the firepower that they do have.
Right.
With Ohtani, with Mookie Betts, with the best team money can buy. I'd rather not deal with that for me personally. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking a lot of Sabres today. We'll also get a look in with the Bills. A lengthy injury report yesterday. Unofficial, though. The first official injury report will come out today. But we'll hear from Sal Capaccio coming up in just about a half hour. But looking for your calls and your tweets as well. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Sabres game day.
We've been having some fun here in the break, though. We've been having
some more fun
in the break.
I discovered something on Twitter.
And I wanted to keep this going because, honestly, I wasn't done with the discussion.
Mm-hmm. You got it, right? I sent this.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So it's not necessarily a superhero sports lineup.
It's mythical.
It's like just
people.
Like comic book, movie...
TV show
characters.
A lot of people from Dragon Ball Z. A lot of people from comic books.
Yep.
Anakin makes an appearance.
I was going to say, for no reason,
Anakin
Skywalker.
Okay, so let's go through the offense here real quick. At wide receiver, you have Spider-Man and Anakin. Spider-Man, absolutely correct.
Yes.
He's your wide receiver one all day long. Offensive line, you got Venom, The Thing, Baymax from Big Hero 6 at
center.
Good
movie, by the way.
Good movie. Colossus at offensive guard. And the Hulk at offensive tackle.
That feels right. I see. No, I don't like the Hulk here as an offensive lineman.
He
gives me the unhinged nature of a tackle. Don't get me wrong. I like him better though as an edge rusher.
Ooh.
He's giving off like Lawrence Taylor vibes.
Yeah, that's true.
Like that's what I would want.
But you also want him on your offensive line.
That's right. He is giving off unhinged offensive lineman vibes. I'm not screaming, but I think I'd prefer him at
on
the defense. Yeah.
Quarterback, Superman.
Whatever.
What do you call Josh Allen when he does stuff? Oh, look, he's going to be.
It's not even that. Like, it's the perfect thing. Like, he's the Boy Scout. He's never going to give a single wrong thing to the media, so he's boring. He's good looking. He's 6'4".
This one,
240 pounds.
This one, I think, is interesting because I didn't think about the media angle, but the flash at fullback. A random unhinged fullback that just says the most random things.
Trash talking. Run the wishbone. Sonic and Flash.
And Sonic is the running guy.
Yeah. We don't need wide receiver too. Anakin, you're out. We're running the wishbone here.
I don't see Anakin at wide receiver too.
And Superman running the ball. I'm good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Also, where does Captain America? Because Captain America is not on this. The defense, highlights of the defense, Thanos at D-tackle.
Correct. Thanos and Doomsday at defensive tackle.
Oh, that's okay. I couldn't tell who that was.
Two all-pro defensive tackles right there.
A Droidica at defensive end.
See what I mean? Like, our defense could be so much better.
Yeah, that should be Hulk.
We're putting in a droid at edge rusher.
You also have the Silver Surfer at safety. Which he's just going to...
That's fantastic.
He's going to get everything.
And then Batman at middle linebacker because Because prep time, he'll be perfect. He's going to watch a lot of film and know exactly what the opposing team's quarterback is.
Some of these pictures, like, I can't tell who it is. I had no idea that was Batman.
Yeah, Batman at middle linebacker.
Interesting. See, I was thinking of Captain America as a linebacker.
Nah, see, Captain America is a lot like Superman because, I mean, they're essentially the same character.
Yeah.
A quarterback. I mean, just they're going to say everything you want to hear, right?
I can't.
They're a modern quarterback, too. They're a little more athletic. They can move around. They've got the bazooka arms. Captain America's whole thing is throwing the shield. Just put it to a football. He's got it.
But I don't know.
He's got a little of elusiveness as well to him.
I can't see him being an offensive player. I see him as a defensive player.
I mean, I'm putting him at safety. The old school, like, hard-hitting safety.
That's fair. Imagine him as a gunner.
Could also see that. That's more Steve Rogers, though, where it's like, I'm willing to do the dirty work.
Yeah. That's not Captain America. That's Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. I just popped up on my timeline.
Those Captain America movies, though, were a lot of fun. I like those ones. Yeah. Those ones are good.
Ooh. Oh, I just had a name in my head and popped away.
That's not great. Got to find it. You got to get it back.
We're going to. Hang on. Give me a sec. Iron Man.
Iron Man. He's head coach.
Oh, ooh, no,
no.
Okay.
No, owner.
Yeah.
It's him or Batman slash Bruce Wayne.
It's Iron Man.
It's Iron Man. I did really want to just quickly transition over to football here because we got the news a little bit ago that Todd Downing is taking over as the play caller for the Jets offense. He was serving this year
Sabres breaking news.
Oh, okay, yeah.
J.J. Paterka will not play tonight.
Okay.
Per Lindy Ruff. Zach Benson is a game time decision.
Okay. All right, so no J.J. Paterka, Zach Benson, maybe. All right, so now I'm wondering if there was a little bit of a issue following practice yesterday. Because both seemed pretty confident they would play.
Mm-hmm.
And having talked with Paul, that was sort of the feeling, too, of like, unless there's like a setback following practice. So we'll see on that. Benson, though, gives me a little bit more that I think both would probably play by Saturday, I would assume. Which is good on that, but we'll see. Again, Benson, game time decision. Paterka out. That's per head coach Lindy Ruff. On the Jets, though, real quick, we are also going to hear from our own Sal Capaccio coming up in just about 20 minutes. Todd Downing, though, he becomes the new play caller on the Jets offense. Was passing game coordinator last year. Was the offensive coordinator for Tennessee for two seasons, 21 and 22. And then this year is the QB coach, passing game coordinator, and now offensive play caller. This, to me, felt like a move that I mean, Josh, we saw reports, we both did, we've been talking about this, that ultimately this is what Robert Saleh was, I think, planning on doing per all the reports, Nathaniel Hackett was going to be, in a sense, demoted. I will never understand having an offensive coordinator and then not having them call plays.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
I'm partially the same way of defensive coordinators, too. I think they should be calling plays.
But what if it's your head coach making the play call instead of... Like, this is weird because it's someone below the offensive coordinator is making the play calls. But if you had an offensive head coach making the play calls, like Andy Reid, right?
Well, but my thing is always going to be, I don't like it because you get what you had in Kansas City, which is... Does the OC actually ever do anything?
And then you have
Is Bieniemy actually doing anything?
Right, right.
And I don't like that really for anybody. When Bobby Babich is calling plays for the Bills defense, we know that. He is going to get the credit and the ridicule regardless. Same now with Joe Brady. He's getting the credit or the ridicule regardless. When you look at here, Cleveland is a perfect example. Ken Dorsey is there as their OC. He is not calling plays. Kevin Stefanski is. So why is he there? It's just it's confusing to me. I want to look up the Rams though real quick. I don't think they have an offensive coordinator, and they haven't. I don't believe. No, they do. It's Mike LaFleur. Okay, so they kind of do. All right, I was wondering if
is he related to Matt LaFleur?
I believe so.
Brothers, perhaps.
Yep, younger brother.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
But that was bad. I mean, I assumed that L.A. was one of them where Sean McVay just kind of ran anything. I guess not. Mm-hmm. I just don't love it, especially because, yeah, when you think of the Rams offense, you think of Sean McVay. When you think of the Chiefs offense, you think of Andy Reid. You don't think of these offensive coordinators that are there. I don't love that. I especially like it even less when ultimately a guy gets demoted. This feels like they're not firing Nathaniel Hackett because it'll upset Rodgers.
Yeah,
that's what that feels like.
And that leads me more and more to believe that this whole thing with Saleh was partially or mostly due to Rodgers not wanting him there anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like this specific move is what got Saleh fired, but I kind of wonder about it. You got to wonder, was Saleh looking to take more drastic steps with Nathaniel Hackett than just demote him from play calling? And that would lead more into the narrative of, yeah, Aaron Rodgers got him fired.
Their whole situation is wild to me. And I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about it, I want to say yesterday, about like if they lose, is this like team in like panic mode for Monday night? And I'm talking about the Bills. If they lose on Monday night, are they in panic mode? I kind of am.
Yeah.
I think everything going on with the Jets is...
If you lose to a dysfunctional team like that, it's bad.
I think Jordan Schultz yesterday was on with Colin Cowherd, and he even said it too. It's like, this is not how you do in terms of firing Robert Saleh when they did and how they did. It's like, this is not how you do business in the NFL. This is just how the Jets do business. You know, him not being able to speak to the team afterwards. Ultimately, he spoke on Monday with the media like business was usual and then was fired on Sunday. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. We're going to get more of a word on that with Sal coming up in the next segment. But nothing is going right for them. They cannot score. It's why they made the move. It's why Todd Downing is calling plays now. But to me, it is one of those it's a must win in the sense of if you don't win, I do think there are massive problems in the roster, whether that be due to injury or just who you have now. We saw yesterday, Josh, too, the unofficial injury report. Curtis Samuel goes back to not practicing because he's dealing with a foot and an ankle injury. I was wondering, just because of how few snaps he was taking in the first two games, if he was really over the turf toe. And then with how they were using him, you could really argue there was something wrong. Now he's picked up that injury, or at least has kept it this entire time. But even still, with just how bad everything is with the Jets, you'd like to think they're going to get a win here. And ultimately, Allen hasn't really had that many good games against this Jets defense. That is a big fear of mine. I've gotten to a point now where Monday night, it is sort of nerve-wracking for me because there is still some goodwill of the first three games. There is still somewhat of this feeling of, you did all that. Guys were getting separation. You were eating against man coverage. You were doing well. What happened? Is it just Shakir being injured? You picked up a lot of injuries on defense. Is that what's going on?
But if
you lose
just
three
Shakir
straight,
yeah,
all of a sudden all that goodwill from the first three games is like, no, this is now a pattern. You're losing games you really shouldn't. You're getting blown out in a number of these games. Because even the Houston game, too, I mean, I wonder what that score looks like if Nico Collins stays in that game. I mean, Allen goes 9 for 30. They got nothing out of the passing game. They got a broken play out of Keon Coleman to score. I would be somebody that is very much panicking in terms of playoffs, but even also the division if you lose to a Jets team that is seemingly reeling. They're only 2-3, and it's seemingly like they're hitting the panic button.
Right, especially with firing their head coach. I mean, that's the most panicked you can be, right?
Well, I mean, Woody Johnson was pretty comfortable in saying, like, yeah, this is the first time in my, 25 years of being owner that I'm doing this, that I'm firing a coach in season.
Yeah.
That it ultimately doesn't happen all that much. The ones I can remember are like Brandon Staley late in the year last year for the Chargers, O'Brien for the Houston Texans a number of years ago. It really doesn't happen all that much in season. You usually let it ride because this doesn't ultimately mean that stuff. Gruden a few years ago for the Raiders, but that was kind of circumstances not necessarily withstanding to coaching. It was more outside. And they did it and it was kind of because their offense is bad. And their defense has been very good. Their defense is keeping them in games. Now Todd Downing goes in as their play caller. It's that they're going to be, I think, in a mood on Monday night. I think there is going to be feelings that the problem has left the building for fans, that the problem has left the building. Now we can go forward. Outside looking in, no, I think the problem really has been that they just do whatever Rodgers says.
Mm-hmm.
But we said even yesterday with Sal too, I think we're all kind of getting maybe a wrong read on the Jets, because yesterday when Woody Johnson is speaking with the media, you know, he's saying, I think this is the best roster in my 25 years of being an owner. So like the thought of like Joe Douglas maybe being fired at the end of this year kind of feels like it's not going to happen.
Right, because it seems like he has all the faith in everything else around
except the head coach.
Yeah, right. But the question is, you know, and I'm okay. Saleh wasn't perfect, but who are they? What are they looking for in a head coach? Because he was part of the reason, I guess we'll find out now. But mm-hmm. he was probably part of the reason why their defense was so good. And I get it; their offense has been terrible, and they haven't really done what they needed to do on offense, obviously. But are they looking offensive? Are they looking defensive? Like, I don't think the firing fixes any problems. That's the other part where it's like extra panic of, yeah, you fired your head coach. That's crazy. But what does it fix? What does it solve?
Yeah, I don't
unless really... there's so much inner turmoil between, mm-hmm. you know, Rodgers and Saleh that there's problems on and off the field. I don't know. That'd be pretty hard to believe. Well, actually, no. Rodgers is pretty crazy. Maybe it wouldn't be so hard to believe.
I guess that's the thing, too, is it's like we're going to find out within like the next, like I would say, month or so. Like, if there were really that big of issues going on in the building, that like they had to get rid of Saleh. I just don't know. But, I mean, to be fair, there was already reports this offseason of turmoil in the locker room. There was feelings that Hackett, you know, wanted to fire him, that Saleh wanted to fire Hackett but couldn't and stuff like that. So, yeah, there is sort of this feeling that there was turmoil there. But firing Saleh and keeping Hackett there, I don't know how much Todd Downing is going to change the offense. Those were the issues. That's where their problems were, not on the defense. The defense has been, for the most part, really good and is keeping them in games.
It's part of the reason why the Bills have lost to the Jets a few times over the past few years. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm quite a bit nervous about Monday night is everything you've seen with the offense the past 2 weeks, and now you're seeing this defense come in that's always giving you problems. But again, I'm honestly really interested to see how much of a role that Saleh played. Because if it was a larger role, this could be a very, not very different offense, but we could see something different this time.
Potentially,
and that's another point where it's, you know, a bit of a head scratcher of why fire him now. Unless there's something seriously wrong. And I don't know if we'll ever find that out. I would love if Saleh did a tell-all, but that I don't think that would
that's
happen.
That's what I was saying, man.
Don't know if he's allowed to do that.
But, you know, Sal put out this tweet yesterday from practice. And I do want to say this too for him, too. He did tweet out, important to note with today's injury report that today is not a normal Wednesday. This is obviously being yesterday with the game on Monday night. There's an extra day this week. Could factor into participation decisions, but ultimately, the no practices, Khalil Shakir, Ed Oliver, James Cook, Curtis Samuel, an offense that is struggling. James Cook seemingly the only piece that has been consistently solid the whole way through because of Shakir's injuries. And now if he's not, I don't know. Just for me, there is the sense of like the season is slipping away from him. I don't want the Bills to make a panic move, but if they do drop three straight games, that is where panic moves come in. And I think that's where you make bad decisions is when you're panicking, when you're reeling, everything, you know, nothing is seemingly going right. I think especially for the Bills, too, there will be this feeling of what the hell happened? We were 3-0, we were cooking, everything was fine, and now all of a sudden we've lost three in a row. I think maybe my biggest fear is the feeling that all of a sudden a panic move would become involved. That's where you all see them really get involved in the Davante Adams trade piece. And I was getting into it with some people on Twitter yesterday of like the idea of trading them a second round pick to get a half a year out of Adams, a guy who's already dealing with a hamstring injury. If you believe it or not, that's what they're saying.
Well, yeah, they can't really lie about that.
Yeah.
And if they do, then that's another problem.
And so he's got a hamstring injury. I'm getting half a year out of him. I'm not going to pay him again.
Mm-hmm.
Some worries there. And yes, the schedule kind of opens up. You get Tennessee. But with you know, we were just talking about it. The, you know, the Sabres have 82 games. One or two games doesn't really define a season. In football, it kind of can. You know, being 4-2 compared to 3-3 is far different. Being 5-2 if you play Tennessee Titans compared to 4-3 also is very different. Mm-hmm. And especially in a year, man, the AFC is not good.
No, it's the whole AFC.
It's not great.
It's not just the AFC East. It's the majority of the AFC. You have the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Texans, kind of the Bills if you still feel like it.
Yep.
And that's it. There's four teams there.
And all of them have like pretty glaring issues or injury issues.
Or maybe not glaring yet. I mean, the Chiefs.
They
do have injury problems, but they're still winning games.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like the Chiefs one, it might not be as glaring,
mm-hmm.
but I still think there's issues there. There's just underneath the fact that they're 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at how this Bills team is going into this game, and I think there is some reason to be worried.
Yeah.
Especially with the last 2 weeks. I don't know.
That'd be the one thing. If they lost to Houston, but it was like a really good game, and they mm-hmm. were, you know, it was back and forth, good offensive game, and ultimately just, you know, the defensive injuries got you,
yeah.
or they had the ball last, what have you. It'd be one thing. It is, again, like the 9-for-30. Allen himself not playing well. No separation for wide receivers. That was the thing yesterday we were talking a lot about. I was under the impression, looking at that, you know, separation win chart, mm-hmm. that Coleman was doing much better, and that, you know, maybe we weren't seeing stuff or what have you. Turns out, that stat is based off of passes he's thrown
and how much
separation he's got. And he was doing well on that.
Passes he's targeted to.
And so Worthy's not doing well on that. And I'm like, oh, man, so is that Mahomes just missing him with Coleman? It's like, okay, yeah, when, you know, he's thrown the ball, okay, or, you know, he is open. It makes sense. And then Sal came on yesterday and was like, no, he's one of the worst, if not the worst, on the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, they've lost Khalil Shakir. Samuel they're not using, whether it be to injury or they have no plan.
And to be fair, with Samuel, if it's not an injury issue, they could very easily just start targeting him more. It's his problem is not, unless it is an injury thing, his problem is very fixable like that. All you got to do is just start targeting him.
It seemed to have way more of a plan.
Have more of a game plan for him. Have him go down the field a little bit more than 2 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And don't run screenplays with him anymore. Try something different. Put him in the slot role. Put him out wide. Do something. But the problem is with what we're seeing with Samuel is we're not seeing anything. Whether it be injury or not, we're just not seeing anything. And if it's injury, then you can't do much about it. But if it's game planning, then just change up the game plan. Right?
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah. I think you're right. You got to change the game plan. You got to change it up. But up to this point, yeah. Samuel's been a non-factor in their offense, and they're paying him $8 million a year.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't have to sit here and try to figure out, oh, like, you know, what's going on? Why is it not working? Because what's working is not working. Just
mm-hmm.
okay, cool. Try something different. Your season is kind of on the line.
Yep. And I don't want to act like, because I'm not. To this point, it is a year in transition. I think they are trying to find out that young core that is going to go forward with.
They
this
want to
group.
Identify what they have,
and I'm cool with that, and I'm all for it.
Yeah,
I also don't want to see a wasted season. I don't want to see a Drew Brees Saints type season in the middle of his career where, yep, you missed the playoffs. You should never miss the playoffs with Josh Allen at quarterback. He is the second to third best quarterback in the NFL on any given day. And in part, why I would panic is that you need to see signs that the year in transition, hey, there's some positives. It's not all great. You know, there's some growing pains. Cole Bishop on Sunday, not mm-hmm. great. But you need to see signs of that player's going to be good. That player's going
to
be good.
That's your welcome to the NFL moment.
Yeah.
Like, hey, good luck, pal. You're a rookie. Get used to it.
But like, for me, if they've paid $8 million to Curtis Samuel and don't have a plan, they draft Dalton Kincaid in the first round and still don't have a plan to get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's like, this is a year in transition with far more issues down the line that we're getting ready to see, but it won't become apparent until next year or what have you, when all of a sudden, yeah, Kincaid's a first round tight end that we're still waiting to emerge.
Right. Well, and this is the perfect year too. Like with Samuel being on a multi-year contract and with Kincaid obviously being who he is in his sophomore season, this is the perfect year to just kind of figure out who they are and how they play and how you can utilize them to the best of their ability and just kind of stash it. If you can't get things to string together and make things work, obviously, like, make the playoffs. But if it's not going to be a year where you're going to go to the Super Bowl or whatever, just figure out how those two work and then make note of that and go into your offense next year with already a plan. Because this year just felt like there's not much of a plan so far.
And that's concerning.
Or the plan is not working.
And that is, I think either one of those is very concerning.
Yeah.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll get more of an idea with the Bills so they get ready for their Monday night matchup. And Sal Capaccio joins the show next. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Regarding the staff, after a lot of time to think about it, did not make this decision easily by any means. I'm going to make Todd Downing the play caller for the New York Jets going forward. And this is more a byproduct of a different take on things. I'm not saying it's a better or worse take on things by any means, but just a different take on things, a fresh approach. So ultimately, Todd will have the full say on the game plan and ultimately the plays that are called within the game.
Jets interim head coach Jeff Albrich, they're confirming that they will be making not a change to offense coordinator, but a change at play calling as they promote Todd Downing, the passing game coordinator and quarterback coach, to the play caller. So the Bills not only going to have to play a new head coach, but also potentially getting a new look offense as well. And with that, we bring in our own Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. The Bills did have practice yesterday. No official injury report, but Sal, man, the unofficial injury report is slightly concerning.
Yeah, well, it is official from the coach, but you're right. We're going to get the official, like, one that comes out from the team today. I'll be down there in a little while, guys. We'll have practice in 1 hour. But even before that happens, people can follow me along at Sal Sports, and I'll give an update on who I saw practicing, who I didn't see practicing. But we do know yesterday that James Cook did not practice. Curtis Samuel did not practice, both dealing with foot/toe injuries, as Sean McDermott put it. Ed Oliver still not out there with a hamstring. Khalil Shakir not out there, although working off to the side with his ankle injury. So that's the bad news. The good news is Taylor Rapp cleared concussion protocol. Taron Johnson was doing even more. He was actually hitting the bag with his arm, like locking it out, pushing it. So that was good news. And Austin Johnson returned to practice on a limited basis as well. So at least getting some guys healthy, but also some concern on other guys, obviously.
Sal, I want to start with James Cook just because I know, you know, Twitter doctors and everything like that, but I've seen the video going around where Cook is falling when the sideline catch where he almost keeps it in, but he ends up being out, and he slams his toe into the turf. Now, I don't know, you know, obviously it's, again, Twitter doctors and everything, but looking at that video, that looks painful. Like, it doesn't look like it's very good. I don't know if you read too much into that stuff, but I just thought that was kind of interesting seeing that angle.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, hey, it's a tough game, and a lot of times guys get hurt because they get hit by somebody, and you know, you get rolled up on some by something, or you know, you twist an ankle, twist a knee, and then coming down hard after making a catch, which by the way was very debatable if he actually was in bounds. And a lot of people asked me why the Bills didn't challenge it. There wasn't a great angle to show in bounds, but you can make an argument. I still don't think it would have been overturned, but man, what a heck of a catch by James Cook. But on that play, it appeared though he came down, banged his left foot front of the foot, the toe area, maybe like straight on against the turf. If that is where exactly the injury came from, I'm guessing that is where it is. We don't know. But sure, these things happen. It's a physical game. It's a rough game. It's a high speed game. And we'll see where James Cook goes from here. I mean, the good news, encouraging on him, was him and Curtis Samuel both worked on the stationary bike yesterday, guys. And then I did see him walk over to like the running back area for the offense while they were getting ready for some individual work. So a lot of times, that's an indication that they at least wanted to be up to speed on the game plan, right? While he's out there, instead of just being away from, you know, inside and working in and getting treatment. It doesn't mean he's practicing today necessarily. We'll find out. It doesn't mean he's playing on Monday. We'll find out. But that's encouraging. The other encouraging thing is, at least I'll say, it's not a normal Wednesday yesterday. Today's like a normal Wednesday because they're playing Monday night. You have that whole extra day. Yesterday's kind of like a Tuesday for a normal week. So even though they did practice, if there's somebody dealing with anything, you almost want to give them that one extra day.
And so, Sal, last thing on the injuries for me, Curtis Samuel, he was somebody obviously dealing with turf toe during training camp. It seemingly, I mean, in a sense, went away because he was no longer on the injury report, but then pops up yesterday. And I know there's been a lot of talk about his, first of all, usage early on in the season as well. And then now, as the season has kind of developed, the, you know, the seeming lack of a plan, I guess, for lack of a better term, for him. Was this sort of surprising to see him pop up with a foot and toe designation, the same as James Cook?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, I don't know about surprising, but I guess so. Yeah, of course, right? Because he hadn't been on the report and he had finished the game. He had played in the game. I mean, heck, you know, James Cook was surprising because he had finished the game. Then we never got anything about him leaving the game there. I think for me, it's more of a, okay, so he's on it now. Like, is this something that's been lingering that they're now starting to treat again? Mm-hmm. And that's why he hasn't been a part of the offense as much. I mean, it's the only explanation, right? I don't get it. I don't, like, I mean, we all play fantasy football, not to turn this into a fantasy thing, but if you play fantasy football, you know Curtis Samuel's been a pretty good player in the NFL, right, over the last few years. Like, he's not been a superstar, but he's been a good player. And he's a guy that, like, oh, yeah, he gets some run, he gets some numbers. And then you look back at what he did with Joe Brady as his offensive coordinator in 2020, and that was, like, his best year as a pro. And the Bills signed him to an $8 million deal. There's no way that their plan for him was to have one catch a week, two catches a week, negative yards. Like, what's going on? So you immediately go to, okay, he had this toe injury towards the end of training camp / preseason. And then he just kind of never was able to fit in the offense or get numbers or targets. And is that the reason why? But wait a minute, he's not on the injury report, so it can't be. Well, now he is on the injury report. Well, he will be today, I'm guessing. But we do know that he sat out because of this. So is that the same thing that he's been dealing with and he has been dealing with? Has it? Or is it something new?
Yeah, and that was something that definitely caught my eye with the injury report of, like, oh, okay, like maybe that is now something to keep an eye on. For the Jets, though, Sal, we did hear there Jeff Ulbrich announcing that Todd Downing is going to take over offensive play calling. I mean, this is going to be, you know, at least on paper, a very different looking Jets team from just a week ago. New head coach with the interim and then now new offensive play caller. To me, though, this does seem like a team that is sort of just making any desperation move possible. I feel like, probably wrong, but I feel like a Davante Adams trade is going to happen like this weekend just because it does seem just so desperate by them.
Well, if it happens this weekend, I still don't think he'd play against the Bills. That would be pretty wild, mm-hmm. right, to show up and play. I guess it could happen, you know, 2 days later. I mean, didn't the Minnesota Vikings start a quarterback on like 3 days after getting
him? I think that was Josh Dobbs,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Anything could happen
nuclear
there.
Science listen,
the astronaut.
Yeah, right. Hey, listen, they are desperate. I mean, that's what they are. And I think that put yourself in the position of the Jets or a Jets fan or doing, you know, radio on WFAN in New York. This is an all-in year for them. They have to be desperate, guys, on anything they do. There's no, well, let's be patient and see how this works out. They have the longest playoff drought in sports right now, along with our Buffalo Sabres, mm-hmm, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they are trying everything. They signed a 40-year-old quarterback, 39 at the time. He's 40 years old. He's still there, coming off the Achilles. They've gone all in. They've traded draft picks. They have this Hassan Reddick situation they're dealing with right now. They're doing whatever they can desperately to break this drought. And I don't blame them, actually. I think that's exactly what they have to do if they're the New York Jets. Now, the downside is if you miss on this big swing, it's setting your organization back even further. And maybe that playoff drought lasts even another several years, which is possible. But everything they're doing now has to be the Jets can't middle it anymore, right? So when you say, like, I expect maybe a trade, hey, I wouldn't be surprised. They can't middle it. Mm. Like, if they can make a deal for Davante Adams, they have to do it. If they can make a deal for Amari Cooper, they have to do it. There's no, well, let's see what we do. It's either they're all in or they're not. The problem with being all in sometimes is when you lose, you bust out.
Yeah, it kind of gives off that feeling of, like, any hand that is, like, arguably good, it's, like, all in. I have to kind of deal, and that's sort of where they're at. Sal, last thing here before we let you get ready for practice. I asked Paul this morning. I got to ask you, of course. I know you were down at Fatty last night as well for an event. The Yankees get a good win over the Royals. Stanton with a beautiful home run in the eighth to get that win. How are we feeling?
Yeah, I prefer to call it majestic is how I look at the home run. Listen, I have made no bones about it over the years that I just think that Giancarlo Stanton never gets a big hit in a big spot. And he always just has his home runs come when they're up like 9-2 or down 9-2. Well, guess what? I'm not going to think that anymore. I'm not going to say that. He has been really good, actually, in the playoffs. He's actually hit a lot of home runs in the playoffs for them, although it's not translated into a world championship. I get it. Last night was the biggest of the biggest hits he's had. Like, that's got to be his biggest hit in a Yankees uniform up to this point. And it's picking up the slack for Aaron Judge because he's done nothing. And we all know he's great. At some point, he's going to do something. And hopefully that's tonight. I'm feeling great. Obviously, I didn't want to go to tonight with possibly being, you know, the last game for the Yankees and being on the brink like the Phillies last night with the Mets. Like, that's just a tough situation. Today with the Guardians. And the Guardians lose tonight. Their season's over. And it's crazy after thinking about the season they had. So, look, Gerrit Cole on the mound tonight. You got to get him. If you don't get him tonight, I do not like going back home to Yankee Stadium for an all or nothing game five.
You know, Sal, maybe you got through to Stanton finally because he also stole a base.
And he did steal a base.
When's the last time he stole a base?
You know what?
Has he ever done it?
Had to have been in Miami.
Yeah. Well, he might have done it in New York, but I mean, he just can't run anymore. But they were giving it to him, and he was smart. I mean, I give him credit. Hey, I'll eat it. He at least it has been pretty true though. Most of his Yankees career, he just has to not get hits in big situations. Did you guys see the stat though on him in the postseason? It's pretty wild. He actually has in Major League history, he has like the second best at bat to home run ratio in postseason play, next to and only under Babe Ruth.
Wow.
Oh wow, I did not see that.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Good for him. That's awesome. I mean, like, because Sal, you were even bringing it up too. Like, you kind of had this feeling about him that just never really got a big hit in a big game, and then here he is. He's like, actually, I kind of do. And then last night as well. I mean, just lifts him over the Royals. That ballpark was popping last night. That was a huge win. They're getting going at 8 o'clock tonight. Guardians and Tigers just after 6.
Now Sal, I got it. Here's what I got to do though. I'm gonna be so, super honest. We're going to the Sabres game tonight, right? I got my family going. Taking my son to the Sabres game tonight. That starts at 7. Yankees start at what time? 8 tonight?
Yep.
Did you say?
Yep.
Okay, so that's not bad, but I just have to be honest. I'm going to be watching the Yankees game on my phone during some of the Sabres game. So hopefully the Sabres keep it entertaining enough where I'm not super dialed in. I'm watching more of the hockey game, but I'll definitely have it close by on the phone too, so I can check it out.
Love to hear it. Sal, enjoy the game tonight and enjoy practice. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. I've never had to do that. But like I am the kind of person that will like watch a game like when I'm at something else. Funny story, which my family still loves to make fun of me about. I did watch a Thursday night football game at a Disney wedding. It was my cousin's wedding. It was me.
That's very
it was me and her brother watching a Carolina Panthers. Darnold was starting at the time. We were watching, I can't remember who the Panthers were playing, but we were watching Thursday night football. He was sitting next to me and we just had my phone there. And the game was just going off, and like as like people were doing speeches, like there is video evidence of like we're just like looking down at the game while also trying to be respectful.
A Panthers football game, really?
It was early enough in the season that every game was fun.
Who was the quarterback?
It was Darnold. I know it was. Oh.
See, if it was Cam Newton, I'd give you a pass.
Oh, is it Baker?
Ooh, if it's Baker, I also give you a pass.
It was one of the. It was one of those two where I was like, I was excited to see them.
Yeah.
Still early on.
Wait,
there.
So this was recent then.
Oh, it was very recent, yeah.
Okay, so that probably was Darnold because that was the – remember the start to the season Darnold had a couple years ago where he just came in and torched the league for 3 weeks and then disappeared, which I hope doesn't happen again for my fantasy football team's sake. Also, real quick, Stanton, that was his first stolen base in 4 years.
Okay, so not Miami, but really close.
He has 42 stolen bases all time. That was his second stolen base in the postseason ever. The first one coming in 2018.
Oh, man.
First year with the Yankees.
That's so good. 803-0550, the number to call. Got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Stanton goes, how do you like that? And he steals the base. How do you like that? Is that something? The last guy you'd think would steal the base.
Well,
Kansas City wasn't playing him.
How do you like that?
How tall is Stanton?
6'6"?
Imagine that. Imagine, 6'6", 245. Imagine him running at you as the shortstop.
And he's though, too, as like the Royals shortstop or even second baseman, whoever sees him first, you're thinking, he's not going to go. Like, I've seen the scouting report. He's not going to go. Then you see him running at you, you're like,
in the replay,
that's gotta be wrong.
The first baseman's not even holding him on the base.
No.
I mean, Costas' call is great. He's like, he might as well just sleptwalk there.
Yeah. I mean, he had for him, it's huge because he's massive. But, like, he had a huge lead. Like, for a normal person.
I think Paul said it. He was like 40% of the way there.
Yeah. No, he was behind. He was past the first baseman. He was behind the first baseman because the first baseman wasn't holding on the bag.
I just got to imagine.
They could have had him out three times before he would have touched the bag.
The second baseman or the shortstop, whoever sees him first, is just going like, he's not. Throw him the ball, he's going.
Right.
If you look at the replay, that little curve that separates the grass and the dirt on the infield, that's basically where he is on the edge of that curve.
Yeah. And that's probably a Stanton and a half away from the bag.
A Stanton and a half.
So, like, 9 feet off the bag? I mean, that's...
Yeah. That's never an absurd lead.
There
was never a fear he was going until he decided to go.
Yeah.
Love that. I've been saying a lot these last 2 weeks. I have loved the playoff baseball. I'm excited mm-hmm. for tonight's games as well. Josh, you brought up a lot. Detroit has been a blast. That fun young team.
I want a Detroit Mets Super Bowl. Wow.
Super Bowl.
Man, I'm sorry.
You want Detroit Mets World Series?
Yes.
I'm kind of getting there with the Subway Series. I really do want both New York teams in.
What just happened?
I'm kind of getting there.
I would like to see the Guardians in there. Hold the longest championship drought.
Nah, they had their shot. They lost to the Cubs. They had their shot.
I'm having an existential crisis right now because I just called the World Series the Super Bowl.
That's fine. You should have ran with it.
I sounded like sports ball guy. Yeah, do the touchdown. Score the thing.
Should have ran with it. Real quick, though, before we get out of here, Seahawk Watch is going to have you guys on Friday. So I do want to mention college football this weekend is a great weekend.
Red River rivalry.
Well, Red River's one of them, 1 versus 18.
How are you feeling?
Awful. Awful, Josh.
Stop.
Awful.
Why can't you be optimistic about anything?
It's not optimistic. It's just I've been here and done this. But they had a great season last year. Oklahoma wasn't even that good. They still lost.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do not like rivalry games. I just get me through them. Then we also have 9 versus 13, Mississippi versus LSU. 2 versus 3, Ohio State versus Oregon.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
Penn State, USC, there's a few really, really good games. South Carolina and Alabama as well. Few really good games this Saturday, starting right away at noon. Going to be a great day. And then nice for a lot of us college football and Sabres fans, Sabres game doesn't even start till 7, so you get to watch a lot of these games. Sabres game, come home to a lot of these good college football games as well. Of course, playoff baseball tonight. Sadly, because some of these series have ended, we don't have the 3 o'clock first pitch. Tonight, though, Guardians-Tigers starts at 6, Yankees-Royals at 8 o'clock, and then, of course, Sabres tonight at home opener this year against the Kings, 7 p.m. puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on WGR.
And don't forget, that is the Steve Foley Law pregame show.
That's right. Thank you. Steve Foley Law pregame show. If you did miss the news, Zach Benson is a game-time decision, while J.J. Paterka is not going to play tonight, and then UPL is expected to get the start in net. Josh, how are we feeling?
I'm good. I'm feeling good. Not as good now that Paterka is out, but mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some sort of good vibes there because of the fact that it's the first game back in the arena with Lindy behind the bench.
Got to start off good.
Forget about Prague. Prague doesn't exist. Europe doesn't exist.
Correct.
It's okay. Nothing happened over there. We don't have to talk about it ever again.
Got to get off to a early good start, even if it's 1-1 after the first. Got to have a good start. Thanks for listening, everyone. Again, Sabres pregame coming up at 6 for a 7 p.m. puck drop. But for more on hockey, stay tuned as coming up after a quick timeout. Sabres Live, you're listening to WGR.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.